You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One of the gifts that Grammy Helen got for her birthday was a new phone. Not a smartphone or a cell phone, just a regular landline phone. It's why I keep a landline, because she doesn't hear well with her hearing aids. There tends to be interference on cell phones. And so I keep a landline to be able to call her and speak to her on a much clearer signal. And she still has a landline. So she does not have a cell phone or a smartphone or a computer or a device of any kind. She is not connected to the internet. But when I tried to call over the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't just me, anybody from the family tried to call her, the phone wasn't ringing. And so my uncle Tom took her a new phone as a pseudo birthday gift on Tuesday, and she now has a brand new phone. And so when I called her, she was pretty upbeat about the fact that her phone had been replaced. And she was full of energy and excitement over the calls and the cards and the flowers and the cupcakes that she received as birthday gifts. She said she went to the dining hall for lunch, and they had a special happy birthday placemat at the seat where she always sits. So that was really cool, too. I did tell her about all of your kind birthday greetings, and she was overwhelmed, just amazed that anyone who didn't know her would care so much about her birthday. But I told her 99 is special. Grammy, not a lot of people get to 99, and I talk about you on the radio all the time, and so people feel like they know you, even if they haven't actually met you in person. I said, it's the same with me. People feel like they know me, and some of you feel like I know you. In fact, that's how I can be so personal on the show, is that I consider you to be friends, and so in light of that, it's pretty easy to feel like you're connected with people, and that actually is a positive about the radio show. If you feel like you're connected to me and connected to my Grammy Helen, that I'm doing something right. I'm accomplishing a goal that I do want to accomplish nightly through the show. So Grammy was energetic and enthusiastic and definitely emotional about her birthday. And I know that now I'm within 2 months of being able to see her, and I'm really looking forward to that. Pretty soon I'll start counting down the days. I hope your Tuesday was just as sweet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not like my Tuesday, which featured an overflowing toilet and lots of cleaning in the bathroom. Nope. I hope it was much closer to my Grammys type of a Tuesday. This is our hump show, middle show of the work week. And so we'd encourage you to send your questions now for Ask Amy Anything, because that comes up 30 minutes from Mark. And you cannot wait till the last second, because producer Dave is currently compiling the questions and will print those out. He's not reading them live as you're submitting them during the segment. So get those into our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Here I will retweet the bright orange box so that you can find it easily on your Twitter feed. Again, After Hours CBS. Actually, I shouldn't say quickly or immediately, because this computer is, I don't know what's going on. You open up a website, or you try to open up a website, and it gets stuck for a good 5 seconds before it will move or before it will respond to the mouse. So I'm not sure if it's needing to update or what. Just know everything at this place is old. It's a computer from, well, it's not quite Commodore 64 material, but it might be close. It might be closer to Commodore 64 and the 90s, the 2000s, than it is where we are right now in 2021. Oh my gosh, sometimes it's so frustrating. Anyway.
I'm not a science computer.
Yeah, you're barely a computer at all, actually. Desktop, not laptop. I know when we had a full complement of hosts using the studio, some of them would bring their own computers. And I get it. When I work from home, I get to use my own laptop, but yeah. I know it's better for the show that I'm here in studio, and so I will continue to pay the $400 a month in tolls, and I will continue to use these archaic computers. And I will deal with it. So you can find us on our show Twitter again, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I know some of you wanted to weigh in on the Deshaun Watson situation, and you are welcome to do that. I wanted to make sure we got through the audio with his one accuser, Ashley Solis, as well as with Tony Busby. And so if you would like to call and talk about Deshaun Watson now, you certainly can. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I forgot to ask Grammy Helen on Tuesday when I called her if she's caught Aaron Rodgers as the guest host of Jeopardy. Now, she also told me that she was having a problem with her TV and that my uncle thought it was the remote, so he got her a new remote, but it didn't work. She's still having trouble with it. If there were a channel that the TV were to be stuck on, it would be the channel that airs Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, because that is a staple for her every afternoon. But I forgot to ask her if she's seen Aaron Rodgers. And I think I want to phrase it in a way that I don't tell her who it is, just to see if she has recognized that it's the Packers quarterback without his uniform and without his helmet. But man, did he have a snazzy brown suit on. I actually watched the entire episode. I had a Zoom call that I had to do around the same time as Jeopardy was starting. And so I paused it, and then I was able to fast forward through the commercials. He looked really good in that suit. And I don't mean him personally, but the suit was perfect for him. I mean, he's not an ugly guy, but whatever. Sorry. I just didn't want you to think I was talking about him personally. Anyway, his hair's all combed, and he does have the facial hair, but he doesn't look nearly as shaggy as what you would expect and what we get from him during No Shave November. Anyway, his tie, really nice. It was white polka dots on a brown background, so he looks spiffy. And he's, of course, going to have to practice wearing that tux for his upcoming wedding. Unless they get married on a beach somewhere. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't plan Aaron Rodgers' wedding for him. But he started the show once again with a mini tribute to Alex Trebek. And he did it with a reference to Brett Favre. So he came on the set and he said something about how he knows what it's like to follow a legend. He didn't mention Brett Favre specifically, but he did say, I know something about following a legend. And then he went on to pay tribute to Alex Trebek and just talk about what is an honor it is to be able to host Jeopardy. And this was shorter. It was shorter than his initial guest host appearance, which aired on Monday. So I'm actually pretty interested to see if he makes progress. And by that, I just mean if he gets more comfortable, if he progresses as a guest host and settles into the role a little bit more. I wouldn't say he's awkward necessarily, but it's clearly not his comfort zone, right? His comfort zone is yelling out the play call in a huddle. His comfort zone is not reading questions, though he reads relatively well. The part that I thought was funny, and I told producer Dave, we have to get this for a drop. He got into this mode in the first half when they were just doing the first round of Jeopardy, where he would answer every correct answer like this: correct, correct, correct. And it wasn't just correct or yes. And he wasn't mixing it up. It was the same thing for about probably a dozen answers in a row. Correct. 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 And so anyway, he's good when he interacts with the contestants. And he makes these little one-liner jokes. And we know Aaron Rodgers likes to drop that kind of sarcastic one-liner humor on us. And so he's definitely not cranky old man, which he tries to convince us that he is with his football career. And he's not a boss, if that makes sense. So on the football field, it's all Aaron Rodgers believing he can do anything. I wouldn't say he's insecure about this role, but you don't have that same confidence slash arrogance cockiness that oozes from Aaron. He's much more humble and probably is because it's not a familiar situation, but also because he recognizes the footsteps that he's following in and the fact that Alex Trebek did it so well. It literally became Alex's identity for 30-something years, 40. I can't remember how long he did the show, but it's a role that he not only developed, but that he was perfect in. And so there's always the weight of something like that when you're trying to step into a role where someone else has done it so well. And of course, that's his reference, following a legend to Brett Favre. So I'll ask Grammy if she recognized the guest host on Jeopardy when I have a chance to talk to her. I'm actually Skyping with her coming up later on Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Bob, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, thanks for sharing the Jeopardy show. And I wanted to segue on something about your granny and technology. And I'll be 70 next birthday, but I decided not to participate. I don't have a TV. I don't have an iPhone or any of that stuff you call it. I don't want to have a voicemail on my landline. and it's so much easier. If I'm in my car, no one can answer the phone. It's no one's home. And but my fear is we had Westwood One up here in northern Michigan, a real strong station, and we'd hear three games on Sunday and all the night games and the college games. Well, we lost them. And we get the other Detroit teams on FM,
right,
but all four Detroit teams failed to make the playoffs. So at the end of the regular season, that's the end of our sports on the radio. And I wonder, yeah, like CBS used to have Phil Simms. They had the great games that they don't have anymore. I wonder, do you think
CBS still has games. It's not Phil Simms anymore, but Jim Nance does the games now with Tony Romo. And CBS just reinstituted its contract with the NFL or rebooted a contract with the NFL. So CBS definitely still has games, just carried all of March Madness and will carry the Masters this weekend. So yes, you still do have network TV, basic cable, though you said you got rid of your TV. So how you normally follow games on radio, that's it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I try to get a Monday paper during the NFL season to read the stats, you know, and what happened during the day. But look at the Olympics. You know, it used to be NBC. If you had NBC, you'd get the Olympics. Well, then you have to have, like, three kinds of NBC to get different sports. Otherwise, you're right there with the disc jockeys on the main floor. And in northern Michigan, on a regular TV, I can get two channels, and NBC is not one of them. So I could spend more on an antenna, et cetera, et cetera. But I decided I'm not spending nothing. I want rather have the money. And I
Your sports broadcasting, your sports fandom definitely takes a hit if you don't have any type of TV. So, like I said, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, they still have a lot of sports, specifically the NFL. All of those are networks that participate with the NFL. I have SiriusXM. That's obviously a radio outlet. I do listen to it online, but I also have an actual radio. So if you wanted radio, you could get, I think I only pay $6 a month for my service, and I get every single game known to man on SiriusXM. So there's another option on radio if you wanted to follow all of your local teams, but also follow teams around the country.
That's money. I'm not going to spend one penny on technology. I decided I'm old enough. I'm going to outlive it like the metric system.
You're going to outlive technology?
Yep.
Well, Bob, I hope that you do, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think cell phones and devices and computers are going away in the next, say, 50 years.
Juju? Yeah, bad medicine.
Well, I'm not telling you that it's great for you. I would agree that there are issues associated with technology, specifically with social media, but not just your basic, say, television to follow sports. I don't think there's bad juju with watching a game on TV. That's just me.
Well, that's where I blend in the money. How much for the TV? How much for the antenna? How much for the contract systems?
You made your choice.
I have no contracts every month for anything.
All right. Well, then I hope that newspaper gives you everything you're looking for, plus our radio show, Bob.
About the newspaper, you buy it, it's so thin, And then it says Detroit Free Press. You want to read all these stories, go to freep.com.
Exactly.
Why did I buy a newspaper with my dough if you want me to get on a computer, which I don't have in the first place?
Well, because it doesn't, printing newspapers doesn't make money anymore. People, you are, I don't want to call you a dinosaur, but you are an aberration now. Most people don't read the newspaper itself. The majority of people do go online, whether it's their phones or their computers. And so the newspaper industry is dying. It did see a bump during the pandemic. I did read that there were more people who were buying newspapers, but the industry is suffering. And so fewer and fewer outlets can afford to print a paper or even print magazines. Sports Illustrated gets thinner and thinner, and they're doing fewer and fewer actual magazines because they can't afford to do it with the fact that there are so few subscribers now.
I know that. I won't even read magazines for free in the library. I'm afraid somebody sneezed on them.
Sir, you said you're about to be 70. Have you been vaccinated?
I got my second vaccination yesterday.
Well, then I would think you wouldn't have to worry about someone sneezing on a magazine.
That's my hope. But I think you got to wait 2 weeks until you're glowing, you're cooking.
Mm. All right. Well, I hope you get over that. That doesn't sound like a good way to live, being anxious over reading a magazine. But you're welcome to listen to the show, and we'll give you as much information as we possibly can, sir.
Listen every night, and your show is the best because you talk on-field sports. You give the game. The men broadcasters, they talk storylines. Bunch of wusses. They want to talk about quarterbacks every night. I heard you on the night after there was the six games played Saturday and Sunday, the first week of the playoffs. You know what I mean? Do you remember?
I don't know which playoffs, no.
NFL playoffs, where there were
supersized wild card weekend, yes.
Yeah, and when you come on Sunday night, you took each game individually and you went play by play. You told what happened, who was good, who was. You give us some detail on it. You painted the picture for us to imagine, and that's why I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I'll let someone else on, but very nice talking to you.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad you're saving all that money, although the library's free, so go read the magazines and figure out some way to follow CBS with your football and your golf and your basketball. 855-212-4227. It sounds like a simple life, and maybe it's more frugal, but I couldn't do it. Could not do it. Having technology is my way to be connected to people that are not nearby. If I didn't have technology, I would not have the same relationships or connection to my family, and that is not something I'm willing to give up. Not to mention my friends, especially over the last year, I treasure phone calls, and I cherish those Skype and Zoom opportunities with people that I love because they've literally kept me going. You can either find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You've got about 20 minutes to get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything, part of our Hump Show coming up. Pretty amazing third quarter for the Atlanta Hawks. And Gerrit Cole showing off on the baseball diamond for the New York Yankees, though he got a little bit of help with a big bat last night. So if we're rounding into your Wednesday morning, yay. I know some of you are still awake on your Tuesday night. I'm still awake on my Tuesday night, but the lines get blurred. Wherever you are, however you are joining us, thank you so much. It's our Hump Show After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Bogey at the foul line. Passes over to Kevin Huerter. Three-pointer, Kevin. It's good again. Kevin Huerter knocks it down from the left wing. And Van Gundy needs another timeout. The Hawks have opened up a 16-point lead. They can't stop the three-pointers by the Hawks. Now Trey Young gets it up across. Right side pass, Lou Williams. Lou back to Trey in the middle. A long three by Trey. He's got another one. Ho, 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 ho. And the Hawks lead at 104-87. A 17-point lead. Hawks just can't miss on these threes right now. Lou on the left wing. Lou fires a three, and he makes it. Lou Williams just knocked down a three. Hawks lead it 107-90.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
The great Steve Holman on the Hawks Radio Network. I hear from Steve every now and then on social media. I had a chance to meet him a few years ago. He's so nice. And he had some fun during the third quarter of the Hawks game against the Pelicans. Atlanta hit 20 of 31. Moved a number there. Hit 20 of 31 triples in this game against the Pelicans. But get this. In the third quarter, 11 for 11. Did not miss on any of their long-range shots in the third quarter. 11 for 11. It was a barrage of threes from the Atlanta Hawks. So really impressive there. And Trae Young finished with 30 points, and he was really the spark, of course. He also had a dozen assists. Three threes for him in the third. Ooh, that's a lot of threes. My favorite number, actually, is 333. I know it's weird, but it makes sense to me. I don't need to explain it probably, but that is my favorite number. And so I appreciate you, Trae Young, lining it up. Three threes in the third quarter. 11 for 11. Now, is that more impressive than what Garrett Cole did? We certainly know Garrett Cole is paid handsomely for what he does on the baseball diamond, but is that more impressive than Garrett's outing on Tuesday?
Now, here's Cole's 1-2. Struck him out swinging. High heat. That was 98. So he saved the best for last. He walks off with a brilliant seven innings. In the seven innings, no runs, four hits, no walks, and 13 strikeouts. He's a master.
John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. It is kind of an interesting debate, right? It's certainly subjective, but it would be interesting to find out what people think is more difficult. Going 11 for 11 as a team when you're lining up three-pointers, though in the NBA, three-pointers are as common as layups now. In fact, even more common. Or Garrett Cole, 13 strikeouts in his outing. And another great sight for Yankees fans right after Cole was done with his performance.
Now the 0-1, swung on and hit in the air to left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast to deep left field. A three-run blast by Judge. All rise. There comes the Judge.
I feel bad for the Orioles. They were one of those teams that got off to a nice start, but against the New York Yankees, they just don't perform well. And for Aaron Judge, a big game for him. In fact, for he and Garrett Cole, it was kind of hand in hand, but he went 3 for 5 on Tuesday with 4 RBI, and that home run was his second of the year with 2 on and 2 out in the 8th inning. So he provided the run support late for Garrett Cole, but certainly Cole, the star of the show with his 7 innings pitched and his 13 strikeouts. I don't know how I would answer that question of which is more important. I just saw Jack Nicklaus on my TV, and I gasped because he was wearing his green jacket, and it just got me all excited about what's to come this week with the Masters. So I don't know how I'd answer. Going 11 for 11 as a team, so you're not talking about one guy getting hot from deep in a particular quarter. You're talking about a whole group of guys, maybe a little bit like the Baylor men's basketball performance against Gonzaga, where they started out 5 for 5 and really were aggressive from the jump. But we know they were the best three-point shooting team in college basketball this year, and they were locked in when they had to be. Or is it Garrett Cole facing a variety of different bats and coming up and going through the lineup more than once and coming up with 13 strikeouts? So that's kind of
your judge and jury.
Thank you, John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, it is your weekly edition of Ask Amy Anything. And while producer Dave is compiling his final questions, make sure you send them to our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. I will go and run and record my CBS Sports Minute. But I just mentioned the Masters, and even now I'm seeing this aerial view and practice rounds taking place and guys all over on Tuesday as they prepare for the first major of the year. And it's so unbelievably green. It's beautiful. I did notice in my backyard, not that it looks anything like Augusta National, but I did notice in my backyard that in the span of 36 hours, the weeds have grown 4 inches. So the grass is barely starting to come in. And now I'm going to have to mow the weeds that have all of a sudden popped up all over the backyard. Not in the front yard, just in the backyard. Along with the flowers, but the weeds are gaining on them. Man, how did that happen? What? It's just wrong. Why do the weeds grow so quickly and the grass does not? Why do toilets overflow in the middle of the day when I'm trying to sleep? These questions that have no answers. But anyway, really excited about the Masters. Exactly. Thank you, Terry Collins. Excited about the Masters. It slows me down. It slows my heart rate down. It'll keep me company while I'm working on my taxes and finishing up my taxes this weekend. And
I didn't know.
I don't know either. So I'm very excited about it, but I know a lot of people will miss Tiger Woods. And maybe we'll do a poll question on tomorrow's show on the eve of the Masters, asking you if it takes away from your excitement to not have Tiger Woods. But we did get an update from Justin Thomas.
I went over and saw him a couple times last week, and I've tried to just go over a couple times during the week whenever I'm home and see him. And, yeah, he texted Freddie and I this morning saying it, I think it's kind of starting to set in. He's bummed he's not here playing practice rounds with us, and we hate it too. I mean, I'm very, very lucky that I somehow got thrown into that practice round group with Tiger and Freddie the last 4 years or whatever it is. And especially around this place, I mean, I just follow them around like puppy dogs. I mean, wherever they go, that's where I go after it. And if they hit chips from somewhere, I go hit chips from there. And it's no coincidence they've been so successful here. But they're also just great guys to be around. So definitely miss that part.
Justin Thomas, a good friend of Tiger Woods, and he was really shaken in the wake of the accident, but said, hey, I've seen him a couple of times, and yes, it's starting to sink in that he can't be part of this year's tournament. The last time it was played in April was 2019, and of course, that was when Tiger Woods won his first green jacket in years and won his first major since 2008. So it'd been more than a decade. It was this triumphant return. It almost broke social media, the way that people were reacting to it. And now he won't be able to be there. But bigger picture, I'm glad that he's healing. And I really hope he'll be able to play golf again. Forget the Masters, but to be able to walk without a limp and to be able to walk without pain. He's had to go through back surgery upon back surgery and learn how to walk steadily and swing a golf club again. Will we see him do that at any level following this accident that crushed a good portion of his right leg? So I'm glad he's doing well. There were no infections. He's home. He's recovering. But it won't quite be the same. So I don't know whether or not the excitement level will be the same. But it is still the Masters. And generally, Augusta National can hold her own. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Lots of questions on Facebook. Also, I'm assuming producer Dave's got options from our show Twitter. We'll get to Ask Amy Anything coming up next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
All right. What do you got? I have high hopes every week when Ask Amy Anything starts, and then the questions begin, and I feel as though I'm getting put on the spot and I can't come up with good answers. And then I go home and I think, oh my gosh, I should have answered this way or that way. So, yeah, sometimes I fail miserably, but the questions still keep coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour, we're going to spend some time in Panthers country and talk about this move with Sam Darnold and how it affects Teddy Bridgewater and what happens next. But that's a few minutes away still. Right now, producer Dave has got your questions for Ask Amy Anything.
Yes, I do. And we will start with Leanne, who wants to know, how old were you when you first started playing organized sports? And what was that first sport that you ever played?
I was in third grade, and the first sport I ever played was softball. So I remember, I still have a picture of me with my hair all sticking out of my little red Little League cap, and I had my red stirrups and my bright white pants and my red jersey. I do not remember my number. I have to go back and look at the picture for that. But yeah, I was in third grade, instantly fell in love. And after that, I played softball my entire school career, but also played as an adult basketball into college, played volleyball for a while in high school, ran cross country in high school, and also bowled on the weekends. That was not part of my school, my scholastic career, but I did bowl with my brother in a league on Saturdays because my mom was a big bowler, and so she got us into bowling early. So those are the various sports that I played when I was younger.
All right. Well, in the same vein, let's stay with Mike, who wants to go back even farther.
Oh, dear.
What is your earliest memory period in your life?
Seriously?
I want to know how old you were and what was the memory.
Well, it's a little fuzzy, but I do remember. I might have been 3 or 4. I remember that it was Easter, and my mom took a picture of my brother and I holding hands in homemade outfits that she made. So my brother's wearing this little suit. It's like a rust-colored brown, and I'm wearing this really cute dress. It's lacy, and it's got light blue and white. And I was a tote head, so I had really blonde hair. And it was cut kind of down around my chin, and I had bangs. And so I do remember my mom taking that photo, 3 or 4 maybe, about the same time, though I don't know if it was earlier or later than that, but it was about the same age. I tried to fly, so I jumped off everything, attempting to fly by flapping my arms. There were a couple of early memories where one even, this was a little bit older, where I jumped off a second story balcony and tried to fly. But I do remember jumping off everything when I was a kid. Couches, jungle gyms, boxes, furniture, and then a second story balcony. So I have a few of those early memories as well. And then also my grandparents had it was a mobile home, a summer home. Well, it was a winter home for them, but it was a summer vacation destination for us in Clearwater, Florida. So I also remember going and visiting my grandparents, probably 6 or 7 years old. So those are some of my earlier memories. 6 years old, I remember a school assembly when I was a first grader, very vividly. My brother was there with me at that. So I would say probably 4, 5, 6 years old are my earliest memories.
Very fair. Let's move along the Amy timeline one more time. What was your first ever job? That's what BK wants to know.
Mm-hmm. My first job when I was 12 years old, I was allowed to clean the, what would you call it? A beauty parlor. It was a hair salon / beauty parlor for a man who worked at our church. And so my mom would take me. I obviously did not drive at 12 years old, 12, 13. She would take me to this beauty salon on a Saturday. They would lock me in, so I was locked in, and I would clean for the next 4 hours. I was allowed to use the radio over the loudspeakers, but I would clean all of the chairs and the mirrors, the windows. I would mop the floors. I would wash the towels, that kind of stuff. And she would leave me there for 4 hours, and then she would come back and she would get me. So my earliest job was cleaning, and I did that for quite a while through my high school years. I had another job in high school and college where on Saturdays I would drive myself to a woman's house nearby, and I did her ironing and did her vacuuming. She was an older lady. And so my earliest jobs were cleaning. Those were my first jobs where my mom was okay with me working outside the house and making a little money.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. Brian wants to know, what is your favorite zoo animal?
Oh my gosh, that's not fair. I love big cats, so the lions, the tigers, the cheetahs. I run like a cheetah myself, haha, especially when I have new shoes. So anything to do with cats, jaguars, they're my favorites. By the way, did you see there was this special on Fox on Sunday night? I have not watched it yet because of everything else going on Sunday, but it's called Malika, the Lion Queen, I think it was the name of it. Malika, Queen of the Jungle, something like that. I taped it. It's on my DVR, but I haven't watched it yet. But I was like, what? A Sunday night primetime special about a lioness, which is amazing. So I haven't watched it, but I do love the big cats. Ever since I went... Oh, and here's the other cool thing about it, Producer Dave. Malika is a lioness at the very same animal preserve that I did my safari, where I did my safari going back, and I did see lions on the safari. It's Kruger National Park. It's partly in South Africa, partly in Mozambique. And so I was on my way with my church to do some missions in the African bush, and we went through Kruger National Park for a day and a half and did a safari. And so I did see some lions. I don't know if I saw Malika. Anyway, I love giraffes. I love elephants. I love hippos. I love animals. And so when I go to the zoo, and I still do go to the zoo as an adult, the cats are my favorite, but I love monkeys. I mean, everything but reptiles, really. Reptiles, and oh my gosh, I do not go through the spiders at all, ever. Gross. The arachnids freak me out. so anyway, I love the zoo, but I would say the cats if you're making me choose. Oh, the pandas. Oh my gosh, the pandas, the red pandas too, the koalas, the bears. Okay, go ahead.
So everything but the spiders.
Yes, and the reptiles. You had to ask me about animals, and then we get off of the beaten path.
It was the last guy's fault, whoever asked that. I already forgot his name. But let's switch over to sports. Why not? Bob wants to know,
fine,
if you could remove one of the commissioners right now and take their job of the major sports, which sport would you want to be commissioner of?
The NFL. I mean, it's a juggernaut. It's a cash cow. It's the golden goose, essentially. It's the league that every other sports league wants to be a part of. And I do think, yes, we've seen some movement with females in high impact positions. So we've got the Marlins with a female GM, but first one ever. I do think that the NFL is trying to move more toward that, having women in positions of some, you know, critical impact. Like, for instance, in the commissioner's office, they have a bunch of women who work there. So I would say the NFL. He gets paid handsomely, number one. Now, he is in the line of fire, but I do believe that the NFL would benefit from even more of a female influence. And right now, even when the NFL goes wrong, it still doesn't go as wrong or lose as much money or as much real estate as the other leagues do. Let's be honest. The NFL is still on its way to becoming a $25 billion a year annual industry. I don't think you can miss with the NFL. From where I sit, the NFL is still, it's still got the golden touch, the Midas golden touch.
Still drives the bus, as we all know. A very similar question, but it's pretty different at the same time. And I really like this question. I think, could be a show question just for the future, maybe. Chaz wants to know if you could also remove any coach from any team and you could take over right now, whether it be because you think the team's going to win a championship or you just like the players that are on that team. Which team would you want to coach?
I don't want to coach. But if I did want to coach, my gosh. And I think UConn women's basketball, I have done some coaching, not at the college level, high school and scholastic. So UConn women's basketball, along the same lines of the NFL, is a juggernaut. And I love the system that Gino Auriemma has set up because he's got them disciplined and accountable and obviously has his pick of the litter when it comes to recruits. So, yeah, that's a place where I feel like you're set up for success, and it's the crown jewel of Connecticut sports, really the crown jewel of New England sports that aren't at the pro level. So that's one. Gosh. I don't think the NFL coaching ranks is something that I'd want to be involved in. I wouldn't mind being an assistant in the NBA if we're talking basketball. So basketball is the sport that I know the best. So I wouldn't mind working in the NBA as an assistant if I could work with forwards, if I could work with, you know, big men, centers, or the WNBA. But I don't really want to coach. It's a life that I considered for a while, but it's not one that really appeals to me. It never stops. Ever. It's really hard on the health, the physical health, and there's no job security. There's even less job security than we have in sports media. So I don't really want to coach with that caveat, but I'll say UConn women's basketball.
You know, you could coach the Bucks and just make Brady run laps all day.
Nah. I could just put LeBron in charge of the Lakers and take over as the coach there. I mean, he's, you know.
That's true. He is the coach and the player and
the general manager.
Yeah, yeah, all that. So Chris wants to know if you've ever done any acting, and if you haven't, would you ever want to?
I did. When I was younger, I acted in a bunch of plays, and we had, just like many of you, high school and college theater productions. So I did enjoy it. I can't imagine ever doing any professional acting. Although, let's be honest, this radio gig of mine is a form of entertainment, and it does include some acting. There are times when I do not feel as enthusiastic or energetic, when I do not want to talk about a particular subject, but I have to sell it to you so that you believe it. So I guess in that way, I'm an actress, but I'm also a saleswoman. So yeah, there are times when I don't feel the emotions that I'm exuding to you on the radio, but you would never know that because I'm really good at my job. So there's an element of acting to it. But in terms of acting, like on Broadway or in on the small screen or big screen, I'm too old for that. You know, they only like young women who are gorgeous and don't have a flaw.
There's no segue possible here, but speaking of movies and acting, Robert wants to know, one, what was the last movie that you saw in the theaters? And two, is there one that you're looking forward to going to if and when theaters are open near you?
Yes. I've just finished watching the first six Mission Impossible movies over the course of the last 2 months. I loved Mission Impossible Fallout. It was awesome, the last one. And I cannot wait to see the new Mission Impossible movie that comes out. I don't remember the title of it, but MI7 that comes out. I think it's this fall, November of 21. And along the same lines, I also over the course of a month, I watched the Daniel Craig James Bond movies, and there's a new one of those set to come out. I think it's the last one that Daniel Craig is doing. It is supposed to be released sometime in 21. So those are two movies that I will absolutely see in the theater, because I just finished watching the franchises and the other movies that are out, and I loved both. I think Daniel Craig is brilliant at James Bond. He's probably my favorite next to Roger Moore. And in addition to that, I think Tom Cruise, these last three Mission Impossible movies were amazing. So I can't wait to see the next one come this fall.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.